Okay, my clock says 7, so good evening, everyone. This is the District 303 regular board meeting. It is Monday, April 11th, 2016 at 7 o'clock p.m. And Mrs. Resch, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. Gaffney.
Here.
Mrs. Yule.
Here.
Mrs. Linkemer.
Here.
Mr. Manheim.
Here.
Mr. McNally.
Here.
Mrs. Burrow.
Here.
Hello.
Mr. Sprung.
Here. Would you join me in the pledge to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you, everybody, for coming out tonight. We're going to start with citizens' comments. Mr. Manheim, would you like to read the preamble?
The school code provides for a public comment period at each board meeting, subject to reasonable constraints. The practice of this board is to limit public comment to 3 minutes per speaker, to a total of 30 minutes per meeting. Speakers addressing the board are expected to maintain a reasonable level of civility. Also, personnel matters are sensitive and confidential. Comments regarding individuals should be respectful. Insults and defamatory remarks have no place in this setting. The board will terminate public comment if speakers cannot adhere to these guidelines. Please identify yourself at the beginning of your remarks.
Okay, and first up, we have Mike Tosaw. Tosaw? Okay. And Mrs. Resch will hold up when you have a minute left.
Okay, thank you. My name is Mike Tosaw. I have two kids. Both of them are in Anderson School right now, a first grader and a third grader. And I'm here tonight to express my concern over the high school boundary issue. When I grew up in Aurora I went to grade school in the 80s in District 131 on the east side of Aurora, there was a lot of demographic changes going on. Combine that with the move that my parents did, and I had to make new friends a lot, so to speak. And I survived it, and I was resilient, no doubt about it, but I remember going through it, and it was a painful experience to having go through it, not once, but probably on three occasions. And so, with that, my wife and I were committed that we didn't want our children to have to go through that again, or to go through that because of what we went through growing up. We bought a house in District 303 in 2007, and that's what we had in mind, is that we wanted to have our kids have the same sets of friends throughout their entire school career. We've been very committed to that. Now, we love District 303. Everything that we've experienced with it, we're very happy with it thus far. As it stands right now, if this proposal is voted on, our kids would be going to St. Charles North. We don't have a problem with St. Charles North, St. Charles East, or Anderson, or Thompson, or Haynes, or Redling, or any other school in this district for that matter. But what our concern is that when our kids, a small amount of them, that will go from Anderson to Redling, and then back to St. Charles North, they're going to be shifting friends on two occasions. And I understand that with the way the district is set up, there's a lot of shifting and split schools and that type of thing. But what I'd like to express my concern about tonight is just that. If they end up going to St. Charles North, we don't have a problem with that, but what we're concerned with is having them shift friends and have maybe just a handful of kids from Anderson go to Redling and then St. Charles North. So the concern that we want to express is that, and that is all I have to say. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. The next, Kristen Tosaw. I assume you're related.
I'm next way. So my name is Kristen, and we have a first and a third grader at Anderson, and this is obviously regarding that proposal. And I know that you guys are voting on it tonight. I just ask that you just have an open mind and just hear what we have to say, whether it be tonight's vote or whether in the future, as you know, the summit's coming up, talking about the middle schools and how that's going to play out in the future. Just because my kids are, my oldest is in third grade, so it'll be affecting him and might have first grade or two in the future. What I wanted to go over just in a quick little 3 minutes is a few little articles. I'm a very evidence-based person. I'm a nurse practitioner. So the first article that is titled School Connectedness, it was from the CDC. It discusses the importance of peer network and how it can affect the school and the student. It states that students who report feeling the most connected to a school also report having the most friends at that school. In contrast, the students that report feeling less connected to the school have more friends from outside of the school, which would be happening, you know, with our kids, and less friends in that particular school, which at that time would be St. Charles North. A second study, school mobility and prospective pathway to psychotic-like symptoms in early adolescence. sorry, I didn't have this one. In the Journal of the American Academy of Child and Adolescent, it finds that moving schools without peer support can fuel low self-esteem and even impact brain chemistry. Third article, 2014, Victor Lavey. His research shows that if a student has the same number of friends in a class as they had in the grade school, it would increase their academic scores. There's numbers I can show you. But is important for the general well-being. It reduces fear and intimidation from school bullying and improves social satisfaction and school satisfaction as well. Finally, in an article by Wenzel and Rossa, he stated that the consequences of such social detachment are usually not taken into account in policymaking circles. And even though it is very well documented in sociology and psychology literature, that students' social networks are very important for their academic performances and overall development. We're very happy, like my husband said, with District 303. You know, our children are thriving. They're, you know, learning very well. They have a great set of friends right now. Whatever school they go to, doesn't matter, in 303. But we're concerned about the social detachment, and I just really want the board to really keep that in mind as these changes are happening. Because what's happening with our kids is we're only taking a handful of children, because our kids already lose 50% of their friends when they go to Redling. Then they go to Redling, and 95% of their friends are going to be going to East, and the 5% thereabout, generally, are going to be going to North. And so I guess that's our concern, is that social detachment that we're worried about during these pivotal adolescence years. So, thank you.
Thank you. And then next we have Tammy, is it Shockley?
Yes.
Part of the name was smudged here, so.
No. I'm just going to kind of piggyback on what these two said as well. My daughter's in fourth grade at Anderson right now. And so my concern is, based on the information that I saw on the website, 28 of her classmates will be leaving Redling and going to North. And I don't see any documentation as far as cost savings. Nobody is benefiting from this as far as taking this small handful of children, taking them from Redling and going to North. Leave them at East. I mean, as far as the transportation, it's kind of there's no win, there's no money savings in regards to transportations, jobs lost, gained. Again, it's just a small handful. These 28 children are just gonna feel like outcasts as they go into this new high school. And then I have an eighth grader who's currently at Redling right now. I know he's gonna go to East, but is the transportation gonna be there for him when he's in his sophomore year at East? That I don't know, and that hasn't been outlined in any of the information that I've seen. So my concern is kind of twofold. My eighth grader, yes, I understand he's gonna go to East, transportation's gonna be provided for him next year, but what about the years following? And then my fourth grader, again, 28 of her kids, or her classmates, are gonna go Redling to North without any benefits, cost, jobs to anyone. So I ask that you please take it into consideration.
Thank you. And that does it for citizens' comments. Now for the superintendent's report.
Thank you very much. First off, we have a special guest with us tonight. I got lectured the other night about calling it Becky McCabe's replacement. I found out that no, there's no replacement for Becky McCabe. Instead, we have Becky McCabe's successor, which is also on your agenda tonight. And to introduce her, I think Mark Moore, who helped chair the committee, a selection committee, will introduce her a little bit and give you some background. So
thanks. Yes, Dr. Kristen Raitzer is joining us as Area Assistant Superintendent for K-5 starting July 1st. She's the one waving and nodding. I'll ask you to introduce your family in a minute, but first a little bit about your background. She is finishing her fourth year in the Zion Schools way in the northeast corner of Illinois. Prior to that, she was 15 years in Kentucky. She served in a number of principalship roles and assistant superintendent roles. Before that, she was a teacher in Minnesota. She earned her Doctor of Education from the University of Minnesota and joins us now. So if you'd like to introduce your family and yourself.
Great, thank you so much. I am honored and just really thrilled to have been selected for this position, so thank you. I brought with me my husband, Tom, and our 11-year-old son, Theo. again, thank you so much.
Welcome, welcome aboard.
So we very much look forward to Chris, I guess you go by Chris, is that right? Dr. Acer joining us and after the board's approval. And I don't know whether, I know she's got a son who has to, you know, get back and get ready for school tomorrow, right? Yeah, is that right?
This is his first board meeting, though, so we'll let him watch some.
Are you a baseball fan?
No.
No, me either. So the Cubs game don't mean anything to you, so good. All right. You and I, we're ready for bonding right now, I can tell you. All right, good. Secondly, is that the middle school summits are coming up. So just to remind the board members, April 14th at Thompson, 6:30. They're all 6:30 to 8:30. April 18th at Haynes, and April 21st at Redling. Encourage board members to be there because we're going to encourage parents after it's done to speak with you and ask you questions at all if you have questions. So please come if you can. I know that a couple of you expressed you can't on a couple of nights, but I know that I haven't heard from anybody that can't at all. So that's, I hope you can. So. And then also thanks to the board and everyone else, certainly our staff as well, for the recognition event. It was a great event. It was one of our smaller retirement groups, I think 35 this year?
Yes.
Something like that, is that right? About 35? I think we had 85 or something like that last year. So it was one of our smaller retirement groups this year, but next year I think we bump up again and go back to probably a more normal number, but thanks for everybody for that as well. That's it for the superintendent's report.
Okay. And that takes us to the committee reports. Why don't we start with business services?
Sure. We met on March 17th, and we had several citizens' comments pertaining to the boundary change for Anderson. We also heard the information, the D303, as well as the Mid-Valley Financial Reports. We placed the amended budget on public display beginning April 4th at the public library, and we also scheduled then our hearing, which would be May 9th, and that was for a couple of small changes that were made, and the law says that we have to put it on public display. Then we had reviewed results from the athletic and physical education TAL service, and that's on for consent tonight, as well as the K through 8 school lunch proposed pricing. That's on for consent as well. We discussed the high school boundary modification, which will be for action tonight, that pertained to the Anderson. And then we had a slurry of review bids for capital improvement projects from Mr. Baird. These are all on for consent. The East High School LRC carpet replacement, Anderson's school pavement maintenance project, Norton Creek's pavement project, East High School's ball field bleacher, this is for ADA accessibility. We also had the Ferrison Creek roof replacement for the flat parts there, as well as the North High School roof replacement. Then we also had the East High School dust collection, and then we also heard about purchasing a used Ford E350 cube truck to replace one that was falling apart. So that's on for consent tonight, and then as well as the two other additional facility vehicles from the state contract. And that's it.
Yeah, those are on consent too, I think.
Correct, yes.
Okay, how about Norris?
Norris, we did meet, and we continued to get an update from staff there. They continue to have some transition in the Park District. They just announced the I guess director, and I'm drawing a complete blank on her name, but she took over there, so she's kind of helping oversee some things, which is, so we're kind of in that transition period now where there's going to be some overlap, but it's going to be good so that she can get get a feel for how things are run there, work with the school district and all that, and are continuing to work on interviewing for positions there. So far, so good.
Mason Cup, I think, is her last name.
Yes.
Andrea,
that's it. Yep.
Okay. And when do you know the next business services meeting? 24th, not to put you on the spot.
Look at Mr. Chapman.
28th, is that the Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the 18th is our Norris monthly board meeting here at 5 o'clock.
All right, great. About learning and teaching.
Learning and teaching, we had some teachers honored, Mr. Michael DeWeese from East was named Project Lead the Way Master Teacher for Principals of Engineering, joining Robert Harmon and Edward Coyle as a third from D303 out of only 565 in the entire country. So we've got three out of those 565. That's good. Project Synergy, as of the date of the meeting, there were 38 applications, 25 from North, 13 from East. And I don't know if we have updates on that right now. And we also had 15 applications for Accelerate College. And then there was just one small snippet that was a bit of a recognition. I don't know his name other than Mickey, but a bus driver. Do you know who Mickey is? There's a bus driver that apparently motivated someone so well that she was taking to social media to extol his virtues repeatedly for simply returning a lost item to a student. So I was...
It's Mike.
Mike, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So pat him on the back. We did a dual credit renewal between ECC and D303, the outline of the relationship. Is three-year deal. Responsibilities for each entity is identified, and the term CTE was not eliminated, but the term CTE was eliminated from the agreement and replaced with all dual credit offerings. And I have to shift to the other part of the page here because it split up on me here. So I apologize. All right, and then the park, I just wanted to review a little bit of what we did there. The discussion of how the difference between park and ISET, and we also compared the D303 scores to the benchmark districts. We had, was it 10 other districts or 9 other districts that?
Yes.
It was 9 or 10. It's not important. It's 9 or 10 other districts. I think we were one of 10. I couldn't remember the number.
I think it was 10.
And we're hoping to be able to follow the cohorts of students, but as of right now, Park being relatively new and unfortunately apparently short-lived, or potentially short-lived, we don't know. That's difficult to do right now. When we compared our results to ISET, we think we have a fairly good handle on that. And as far as the next meeting, it's going to be April 18th here at 5 o'clock. We'll be discussing science resources, Cengage contract renewal, elementary supports and resources, and we may be discussing, although I don't know if it's still on the agenda, number of students enrolled in Algebra 1 in middle school.
Okay, great. Community relations, I think you met.
I will let Mr. McNally.
That goes back to me again, because I was there. So.
Oh, that's right.
We had the student liaison reports, and Warren Stipich reported that senior class is confirmed. They're going to continue to support the planned brick archway. That's kind of their senior project. From North, Claire Miller is working on a mobile Feed My Starving Children event, which is pretty neat. We're talking about different ways to raise funds for the event, and I think we had a couple ideas come out of the meeting, and I think she's going to explore some more. Again, we had Mr. Chizar presenting some information. He had a busy night that night. We had second highest participation ever in our survey, the satisfaction survey, and we had the highest highest increase from 79% to 87%, mostly very satisfied. I believe that's been attributed to staff development across two high schools, counselors working on better career services, capturing kids' hearts program, professional development, instructional services. All the programs are up at the high school with many of the all-time highs achieved. So we've just had a great satisfaction survey. And the summit meeting dates, which I think were already mentioned, which are the 14th, 18th, and 21st. And the next community relations is scheduled for May 16th.
Okay. And how about housing?
Housing, there are no current updates.
Okay. And takes us to policy?
Policy did happen this month.
Okay.
This
month. DPTO?
Yes, DPTO did meet on March 23rd, and they had a meeting, an ongoing set of discussions, of which have been helped by Mr. Kaufman, regarding insurance for PTOs, online due paying, calculation of dues throughout the district.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Chapman.
Who did I say? Kaufman. Yeah. I did, didn't I? Okay. Everybody was laughing.
But Brad is back.
Better than Brad. So thank you, Mr. Chapman, for helping them. I'm bringing it up because they've been discussing things for a couple months, and the PTOs are struggling a little bit with dues being paid online and people getting to the bottom of their checkout and signing up to pay dues, where it is on the page, and a number of schools are struggling in their numbers. And so I just thought I'd take a second here to put it out there that people should go through their, since this is about the time, I don't know if they're out yet, but the registration packets, but please do sign up for PTOs. I think everyone in this room recognizes how much they contribute to a school and making really, making the school a fuller, better place. Really can't say enough about the PTOs in our school district. Additionally, their presentation was on the Parent Satisfaction Survey. They were very happy for us. I guess two negative comments were just that math is the lowest score of the curriculum points. And but they did want to, they did note that curriculum in general was up, and they thought that was really good. They want to know why, and we weren't able to tell them, I don't speak, but they weren't able to really capture why, but it was up quite a bit on the survey. And in addition, the high school numbers were up so much higher, and I think that pleased people. And I think they, in the back of their minds, they knew why. It's the high school representatives. So that was a very enjoyable meeting. And then the last thing is that they often like to take a little field trip in the spring. Doesn't every group like to do that? And so we will be going to St. Charles East to Nancy Kroll's classroom, who does family and consumer science, culinary arts, fashion design preschool. We're going to see what she does. I believe she's retiring, right? So this is very good timing, and it gives people a look at a class that they don't usually get to see. So that is April 20th, and that's that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go check it out. Yeah.
Great.
Believe me.
Did I get everything? Did I miss anything? Okay. That takes us to Section 5, the four action items. Do I have a motion to approve Item 5A, the high school boundary modification?
So moved.
Ms. Yule, second?
Second.
Mr. Mannheim? Discussion, questions? Something we've talked about in several committee meetings. And just for clarity, just so we're all on the same page, so there would be the Anderson area there would be going to north now. Correct. They currently go to east. But eighth graders want to continue going to east. Can do that all 4 years?
Right. So currently Anderson Elementary students, part of them, those that are on the west side of the river, go to onto Thompson and then onto or is it Haynes? Haynes, on the Haynes and then on to North. So some of them go to North right now. This would, the rest of the students then from Anderson would go now to North. They would continue to go to Redling, however, which is, I think, some of the parent concerns that have been expressed. And then those eighth graders that are currently this year at Redling would continue to go to East High School if they chose. We would also give them the option if they wish to have, because of siblings coming up or whatever, that they could go on to North as well. So we would do either in that case. And the answer to the transportation question is yes, transportation would continue to be provided for these students in their favorite high school. This was not intended to be made a money-saving issue. It's not. It's to attend to balance out the enrollment. There's significant, as the board saw, there's significant differences long-term here in their enrollment between North and East, to the point where we felt, and this really is changes a delta of 200 students. So by taking over 4 years, if you take 28 students per year out of a, over 4 years, you take 100 students out of East and you add 100 students into North, it changes the delta by 200 students in regards to that. So that was the objective of this.
Anything else?
I just think I want to just double check something based on the paragraph that was in here, is that those, a student in the Anderson area who would want to go, a current eighth grader who would want to go to North, would provide their own transportation for the first
year, right,
until the whole setup for any number.
Correct, yeah.
The full thing.
So if my understanding, I don't know of any students that wish to do that, but if there were to be, if they would provide transportation that first year, then the second year we would start providing transportation because then the buses would be routed in that area.
Mm-hmm. And my other point is just that it's not easy, and I'm glad you addressed that it isn't really so much a money issue as it is just numbers, and that it is something that has to be addressed. There's just no two ways about it. The difference in a couple of years would be 600 students. My only concern is that actually it is not enough. It's 600 students right now, or will be in a couple of years, especially given that we've given it one more year of grace period. So I just want to ask the board to that we consider, you know, check in again in about 2 years and see what might need to be done. And as we've found out, the demographics of our you know, school district are changing, not constantly, but it's not very predictable. And so that I think we need to stay on top of these things. And a high school, two high schools that are 600 students apart is not, you know, good planning. So I think we just need to keep up on it.
Anything else? Okay. Well, hearing none, would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Hewlett?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Burrell?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mr. Spring?
Yes. Motion is approved. That takes us to item 5B. So a motion to approve the intergovernmental agreement with the City of St. Charles for a dark fiber wide area network.
So moved.
Second. Mr. Gaffney, second.
No, you can have it.
Thank you.
No, nobody wants it.
Questions, comments? Does anybody need to know what dark fiber wire area is? Will this help students log into PARC in the future?
Yes.
Okay.
It supplies all communication to any server in the district and to the internet. So this connects all our schools together as a district.
Comments?
John, does that include the schools outside of the City of St. Charles?
Yes, it does. Yes, it
does. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Is it coming through the telephone lines? Is that how it's running through?
No. This is private connective. It's fiber optic cabling. It's glass.
So it's underground?
Most of it's underground. There is a section that feeds North High School, Corin, Pearson, Wasco, and Belgram, which is hanging from Commonwealth Edison poles.
Okay.
So there are sections that are not below ground. In fact,
we'd like it to all be underground.
We would love it to be all underground.
But not yet.
More stable. But
yes. And this is new fiber.
This is existing fiber. We're using this fiber today. It's just we're changing the architecture of how we use it, and we're extending the agreement for another 10 years with the City of St. Charles so that investment can be spread out over 10 years.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay. Would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr.
Mrs. Perrot?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewitt?
Yes.
Mr. Sprinkle?
Yes. Motion is approved. That takes us to 5C, kind of a companion to that one. Do I have a motion to approve the technology infrastructure to support dark fiber wide area networking?
So moved.
Ms. McNally, second?
Second.
Ms. Linkman? Questions? Discussion? All right. Seeing none, would you call the roll?
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perrot?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewitt?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkman?
Yes.
Mr. Sprinkle?
Yes. Motion is approved. That takes us to item 5D. Mr. Manheim, do you want to make a motion?
I move that this Board of Education adopt the resolution before you, authorizing and directing the President and Secretary to give to the non-tenure licensed employees other than final year probationary licensed employees listed on Exhibit 1 attached here to written notice that this Board's decision to not reemploy said licensed employees for the 2016-17 school year. And in view of the fact that the resolution form in front of you is the same for these non-tenure licensed employees other than final year probationary licensed employees, I recommend we adopt this like resolution.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Okay, Mrs. Linkmore? Is there a request that this resolution be read in its entirety? Is there a request that any individual resolutions be read in their entirety? And is there any other discussion? Okay. Would you call the roll, please?
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perrot?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewitt?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkman?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. Sprinkle?
Yes. Motion is approved. So that takes us to item 5E, which is Mr. Manheim again.
Yep. I move that this Board of Education adopt the resolution before you, authorizing and directing the President and Secretary to give to the selected non-licensed employees listed on Exhibit 1 attached here to written notice of this Board's decision to honorably dismiss said personnel effective as of the end of the 2015-16 school term. And in view of the fact that the resolution form in front of you is the same for these selected non-licensed employees, I recommend we adopt this like resolution.
Okay, is there a second to this motion?
Second.
Okay, Mrs. Hewell. Is there a request that this resolution be read in its entirety? Is there a request that any individual resolutions be read in their entirety? Is there any other discussion? Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Perrot?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Yes.
Mrs. Linkman?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr. Sprinkle?
Yes. Motion is approved. And that takes us to item 5F. Do I have a motion to approve the employment contract for Dr. Jason Pearson?
So.
Was it Mr. Gaffney?
It's fine.
Ms. Pirog, second? Questions? Discussion? Comments?
Well done.
Very glad we're here.
Yes.
We're all anxious to second that motion.
Mm-hmm.
I think it needs to be said that this is something that this board has worked on for months, using our time with the citizens at the summits and just kind of on the side discussing and seeing, deciding that we felt that we knew what the community would want, and that we could go looking and creating a search and spending a lot of time, when really I believe we all felt that person was right in our home already. And so it has taken some time to really do this right and to do this well, but I'm very excited that we will have Dr. Pearson as our next superintendent next year to succeed Dr. Sloan.
Replace. I'm not as tenured back yet.
Any other comments? Discussion?
None.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I will say the process was much different than what I envisioned. We were thinking about this maybe a year or so ago, and but when a great opportunity presents itself, you have to capture it. So it's good. It's all good. And I've heard nothing but kudos and rave reviews, so it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Anything else? Just call the roll, please.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkman?
Happily, yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
McNally?
Abstain.
Mrs. Spragg?
Yes.
Mr. Spragg?
Yes, motion is approved. Congratulations. Would you like to say a quick word?
Yeah, I would. Thank you very much. First, I would like to just say that I'm really appreciative to the Board of Education for kind of putting together this process to help us plan for a succession plan for Dr. Schloman. I think that although this is a little unusual, it's not unheard of in school districts today. There's a lot of work that goes on in our district every day, and we have lots of people here that depend on our district staff to support their work, and I think that it's really important that they have some feeling of continuity and leadership, and it allows us to continue some really important work that we're doing. Over the last, what will be a decade by the time that he retires, Dr. Schloman has helped us really focus our work around Instruction Matters, which is this idea that focusing on the quality of instruction in our classrooms is what really makes a difference for our students. And being able to do that, and it helps lead to higher levels of student learning. In response to that, our staff has worked really hard to try to build networks of collaboration that really are looked to as a model around the state. Other districts look to us as a model of the way that we work together to ensure high quality student learning for our students. And as a result of that, we see continually increasing levels of student achievement, and we also see higher levels of parent and family satisfaction. And so it's a testament not only to Dr. Schloman's leadership, but also to the board's leadership. And I'm just humbled and honored to have an opportunity to step in when Dr. Schloman retires and continue to work with all the great people that are here in St. Charles and D303. So thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And I would just mention, we'll have cake after this part of the meeting. And then in a couple weeks, whenever the schedule's free up, then Dr. Pearson will probably have some kind of an open house where staff and community can come in and meet him and say hello. So we'll keep you posted there. Moving on to item 6, the consent agenda. Are there any items to be pulled? Okay, seeing none, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. McNally? Questions? Discussion? Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Hill?
Yes.
Mrs. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Spragg?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mr. Spragg?
Yes, motion is approved. It takes us to Section 7, the FOIA information section. Any questions or comments on FOIA or financial reports? Okay.
Everybody wants to get to the cake.
And is there any new business to be discussed? I just have one thing. I got in the mail the other day the delegate questionnaire for the III conference. Comes up in November.
So excited.
Oh, kidding. It's like Christmas when that comes. So maybe at the next community relations. So if board members, if you think about any issues that you feel strongly about, we want to submit it, then we'll talk about it. So I'll get that to you.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, then do I have a motion to adjourn to closed session by roll call vote for the purpose of the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body or legal counsel for the public body, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against employee of the public body or against legal counsel for the public body to determine its validity, also for collective negotiating matters between the public body and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, also for litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of the particular public body has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the public body finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered within the minutes of the closed meeting, and also for the setting of a price for sale or lease of property owned by the public body. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
I'm not going to repeat it.
No, you're not.
Second.
Second. Okay, would you call the roll call?
Mrs. Lincoln?
Yes.
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Spragg?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell?
Yes.
Mr. Spragg?
Yes. So we'll take a probably 20-minute break, and we'll have a little bit of kick.
8 o'clock, reconvene?
Yeah, let's say 8 o'clock. We'll convene in closed session.